This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Today's gospel meets us someplace real. We all know what it's like to be afraid, to receive a call from a loved one that the doctor found something unusual and they took a biopsy. And then sitting with them in the midst of that uncertainty as they wait the days before the results. Or perhaps watching someone we love decline and already grieving the empty space that they will leave behind. Or perhaps you were laid off because of a restructuring and are facing financial hardship and uncertainty about the future. We all have our experiences and our moments of pain, uncertainty, or trauma, times when everything goes dark and we have a singular focus and worry. We know this feeling and how it can be as physical as it is emotional. We feel it in our bones and in our gut. The disciples find themselves in their own precarious situation in today's gospel. They've been in the boat through the night without Jesus. The winds are against them, and they're stuck far from shore. The waves are crashing against the sides of the boat, and I imagine it's been a sleepless night. And then suddenly, they see a ghostly figure approaching on the water, walking on the water, actually. And they're terrified, and they cry out in fear, only to hear Jesus comfort them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Our friend Peter, of course, is the first to react, and he yells out to Jesus. He asks to be invited to come out onto the water, and we hear that Jesus accepts and bids him come. Bravely, Peter leaves the boat, and he actually starts to walk on the water. He must be filled with excitement and awe at what is happening, and the knowledge that he's approaching Jesus. But then he sees the waves, and he feels the wind, and his attention shifts. He becomes frightened, and he starts to sink. He feels the cold water and the waves on his skin, and he becomes more and more terrified. He drops lower and lower into the water, and he begins to fear for his life. And in desperation, he calls out to Jesus, "Save me." The text tells us that Jesus immediately reached out his hand to grasp Peter. His response is instantaneous. I imagine that Peter's cry and Jesus's grasp happen in the blink of an eye. Jesus doesn't pause. He doesn't consider Peter's faith or his worthiness. Jesus doesn't assess Peter's actions or the mistakes that he might have made. I think in our lives, we often assume that there is a pause or a gap here. We think that too often that we are unworthy, that massive change is required before we can be restored to relationship with Christ. Yet Peter is rescued and returned to Jesus even before he fully understands what has happened, before any word or teaching about his faith or his belief. I think we have to notice, too, that Peter's first instinct is to return to Jesus. Yes, he's momentarily distracted by the wind and the waves, but once he realizes that he's lost focus, he immediately returns to Jesus. Even in the midst of fear, where we place our attention matters. I had to learn this lesson myself, albeit in a little bit of a less of a life-threatening situation. One of my favorite things is F1 and motorsport, and when I'm lucky enough being able to drive on track. And when you're driving fast around a corner, where you look matters. The tendency when you're fearful is to look at what you're afraid of hitting. So you look at the wall or the other car or the edge of the track. But when you focus on what you're afraid of, you actually end up driving right towards it or right into it. And I have a tendency to fixate on what I'm afraid of, right? And so what happens is it pulls me off track or it sends me wide because the car or your direction, the way that you go, follows your eyes. But the trick is, once you learn to look where you want to go, the point you want to hit, somehow magically, the car ends up following. Where we look and what we focus on matters. And we see in the gospel text that that's Peter's instinct as well. Even as he's sinking and he's afraid, his focus finds its way back to Jesus. The word that's used for little faith in today's text is also found in other places in the Gospels. And we have to realize, too, that it's not meant to describe faith in a doctrine or an abstract belief. It describes moments, particular moments where people were concerned about having enough food or sustenance or were fearful for their own lives. It's used in a very similar situation in chapter 8, when the disciples were also on a boat again, and the weather becomes dangerous, and they're afraid for their lives. In this situation, Jesus is in the boat with them sleeping, and they call out to wake him up. And Jesus uses this same word to describe the disciples' faith in this moment, even as he calms and quiets the storm. The question behind the word isn't whether we believe the right things. It's whether we believe that God's care and providence reach this particular situation. We know what it's like to be afraid, to doubt our own future. The question the gospel asks us today is, do we believe that God grasps us and holds us even when we haven't proven anything, when we don't have all of the answers? And unfortunately, it's not a question that we only have to answer once in our lives. It's something we must face every time the waters get rough and our pulse quickens. It's a choice that we must make over and over as we decide where we look in times of crisis and fear. Where do we place our faith and our trust when times are difficult? God is with us, holding us near as we wait weeks for the biopsy results and the answer to questions about next steps. God's grasp doesn't wait for the results to come back. God is with us in our grief, too, in the space someone we love leaves behind, and in the silence that we're afraid to sit with. And God is with us as we face uncertainty and financial peril, as we wonder how we will make it through the coming month, and how we will answer questions about the job search and our current situation. Our instinct will always be to focus our eyes on what we fear. But God is already reaching out for us. Like Peter, we must return our gaze to the one who calls us and to the one who is already looking for us. We must remember that God's presence doesn't wait for resolution or even for reconciliation. God pulls us close first so that we never have to face our fears alone. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.